The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Advice and expertise on the relief you need from hay fever at All Care Community Pharmacies across Ireland.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
You're all very welcome back to the programme. Derv McDonald sitting in for Brendan today. Well, from one brouhaha to another. Who remembers this? That's it, 20 years ago when there were eruptions in the Irish camp at the World Cup in Saipan and Roy Keane would soon be on his way home. Let's talk to super soccer fan Fiona Looney. Fiona, there was no time like this in terms of a collective national reaction to an event. It was kind of like a Kennedy moment, wasn't it?
It absolutely was. You know, it was yet another goo-boo moment, I suppose, in and not just in Irish sport, because the repercussions just spread. You didn't need to know anything about the World Cup, about Irish football, about Roy Keane or Mick McCarthy. Suddenly, the whole country was just enveloped and outraged, it has to be said, in equal measure by what was going on a little island that a couple of weeks previously none of us had ever heard of, you know. So it was an extraordinary time.
Is it sort of something akin to something more recent, the Garth Brooks saga, in terms of how divisive that was,
splitting the country
into?
Absolutely. And, you know, when the Garth Brooks thing happened, like, a lot of comparisons were made. You know, one thing you can say about we Irish is we sweat the small stuff. You know, if you think about it, a few years, like, in between the Saipan incident and the Garth Brooks incident, our economy completely collapsed. We lost our sovereignty and we were more upset about Saipan and the Garth Brooks concerts than we were about that.
For just in case there's anyone under 20 who doesn't recall, just remind us of what it was that happened. I actually hadn't even realised, Fiona, you were such an Ireland fan.
Yeah, well, 20 years ago, I was knee deep in babies. So I wasn't at this particular World Cup. My brother actually went to it. He represented me at this particular campaign. But I had been to away matches, you know, World Cup qualifiers before then. And I was very involved with Shamrock Rovers. So we would have had a network of, I suppose, inside information. But, you know, it was really obvious going out to the 2002 World Cup that Roy Keane was not happy in the Irish camp, and that specifically he wasn't happy with Mick McCarthy as a manager. But events came to a head when there were, I suppose, a series of unfortunate events, as they say, that started with the team being booked in economy class while the FAI were in first class for the trip over. And then when they saw the training facilities in Saipan, which just didn't come up to scratch, Roy Keane became increasingly disillusioned with the setup. He really was set on a path of, you know, destruction in terms of his relationship with Mick McCarthy.
Will we remind listeners, first of all, how upset Roy Keane was at the time? Let's play this.
We come over here, we travel halfway across the world, and the training pitch is a disgrace. And somebody's got to hold a hand up and say, it's like training on a car park. Bloody rock hard. We've had one or two injuries already and I expect a few more.
And Fiona, before we get to that, let's see what Mick McCarthy was saying in reply.
I can't, will not tolerate, not being spoken to like that, but the level of abuse that was thrown at me. So I have sent him home.
Fiona, it's a bit like kind of the you know, kind of post-independence, families were divided as to what camp they were in. What camp were you in at the time, and have your views changed?
It's funny that you should say at the time, because I think a lot of us have softened in the years since. I would have been Team McCarthy at the time all the way, on the basis that, and it's funny, I was talking to your researcher about this yesterday, and I actually could hear my anger in my own voice when I remember it, how I felt about it. Ultimately, I mean, you know, Roy Keane was right about all of this, you know, and time has proven, you know, it really was the start of the spotlight being put on the bad governance in the FAI. And he was absolutely right to do that. However, he was the team captain. And for me, that was unforgivable at the time. Exactly. You go down with your ship, you know, and I think everything that he said around, you know, before the World Cup was stuff that he should have brought up afterwards. Mm. Now, you know, that was my view at the time.
And you knew Mick personally. Do you think that your views were maybe coloured by that? But I think you knew Mick as well.
Well, I'd met him a few times. He was a very good friend of Dermot Morgan, mm-hmm. who I would have worked with back in the day. And I'd met him with Dermot a few times. And he was a lovely guy, and look, Roy Keane is now a national treasure. So, like, you know, time has softened and vindicated both men, I think, in different ways. But at the time, it was very strange because we now know that it was a very nuanced situation. You know, with there's been so many books and memoirs that have come out since that we can see that it really was, there were a lot of shades of grey there. Mm. But it happened in a different time zone to us. It was, you know, everything happened in the middle of the night. You woke up in the morning to another episode of this.
And could you imagine if Twitter and Insta and social media...
Oh, I mean, it would have been crazy. And, you know, for whatever reason, the nuance and the subtleties of what was happening were completely lost by the time they reached us. And, Fiona, and it was totally black and white in Ireland.
Well, there was huge pressure, as we know, to get the scoop, to get that big interview with Roy Keane himself. And it was one that was got by Tommy Gorman, formerly of this parish, Tommy Gorman, who was the first person to interview Roy Keane after he left Saipan. And let's have a quick listen back to that infamous or famous interview now.
What happened to me last week, I wouldn't wish it on anybody. I felt I deserved better. Now, of course I lost my temper. People will tell you that, people who know me. But people make me out to be a monster and I'm a loner. And that's nonsense, absolute nonsense.
If you thought that they'd take you back, that the players wanted
you back,
didn't
they?
Yeah.
What do you mean if they take me back?
If they thought that they'd love to have you in the team, that Mick McCarthy was prepared to bury the hatchet with you, that he was prepared to apologise, to meet you halfway, that the players wanted you back, what would Roy Keane, the guy who pulls
on
a green jersey, do?
I really don't know. Because I can't see it happening.
It's hurting you, this.
Of course it's hurting me. Dead right it is.
Well, it hurt you too, Tommy Gorman, because it almost made you cry. Tommy Gorman, you're very, very welcome to the programme. I have to ask you, how did you get that scoop? Because everyone had descended on heel. Everyone was trying to get this big post-Saipan interview with Roy Keane.
Trevor, that's really not true. there were very few people left in Manchester. Most people had gone home.
But everybody was trying to get the scoop.
We got it for a number.
Yeah.
Yeah, there weren't really. I don't know where that comes from. I think the reason we got it was, number one, we stayed around. Number two, we were offering the platform of RTE. Mm-hmm. And number three, working in our favour was the fact that Roy had given an interview to the Mail on Sunday, mm-hmm. a British newspaper. He was the captain of Ireland, and it was an easy enough case to make. Do you want to speak to your Irish audience? I think his advisor at the time, Michael Kennedy, saw the wisdom of him putting his stance, putting his views across to the Irish people. I think they checked with a number of people, Eamon Dunphy among them, and we got it simply because we stayed around and we worked for RTE, and that's how it came about.
And you did stay around because you went and you spoke to people locally in the area to get a fuller picture of Roy Keane, because as Fiona was saying there, it was sort of very, very black and white, and perhaps what we were seeing at the time was this explosive element of it. But you were really, I suppose, able to get across maybe even a bit of a softer side to him.
Well, long before that, I had seen Keane, you know, while working in Brussels. I covered lots of Manchester United matches. I was at the game in Turin where he literally pulled United into the Champions League final and got a yellow card and ruled himself out. I saw the Irish match in the Netherlands where they went 2-0 and then it was pulled back to 2-2. So I saw those FAI standards, but I also saw Keane the genius, Keane the gladiator, Keane the competitor, Keane who was, you know, every bit as heroic as Katie Taylor or Sonia O'Sullivan. Keane was one of our best as a player. And I was aware of, you know, the stage he was at in his life. He was coming towards the end of his career. He had been a wild, young, able footballer in his, you know, early 20s. His last World Cup was in 94. So he was coming to the end of his time. And the standards he had under Alex Ferguson were just excellence. But he was also aware that if you really don't push yourself to the limits, you don't win these competitions.
But it's interesting.
And Keane wanted to win.
Yeah, it was. It's interesting, just some of the comments coming in. The people are saying the debate clearly lives on. Sort of, I guess, pro McCarthy thing, saying people really sympathised with our players out there. Another says, no, 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 Keane should never have come home. I suppose, really, you were best placed at that time to get a sense of where he was coming from. You know, this was probably his last opportunity. You know, he, as you say, he came from this extraordinary setup at Manchester United. Do you have a huge, I suppose, looking back at it now, is there anything you would have done differently in the sense of that interview, or, you know, brought out? Or how do you feel about it now, 20 years on?
I feel it. I was watching tragedy happen. And the terrible thing about tragedy is you can see the car crash, but it can't be prevented. Like most people in Ireland, I desperately wanted Ireland to put out their best side. And I think it's important to say there were no bad people. Like Mick McCarthy was a really decent, committed person. Niall Quinn, all the others as well, you know, the Mother Teresa's that Roy Keane referred to. If you look at what happened subsequently, you know, Roy Keane and McCarthy shook hands when they were managers. Roy Keane went to work with Niall Quinn at Sunderland. Roy Keane went to work with the FAI under John Delaney. I think part of Keane's problem was he set such high standards for himself, even higher than those he expected from others around him. I think as a manager, he struggled to sort of get those standards out of players. And I think he's in the perfect place now. I think he's box office on Sky television. And I think if all the different parties had a chance to look at that again, they do things differently. And Fiona is 1,000,000% right. The biggest structural weakness that existed at that time, and it took years for it to be reformed.
And perhaps that was
the FAI FAI wasn't fit for purpose.
Yeah, and
the FAI wasn't fit to cater for all those talents. And it took maybe over a decade for that to emerge in its full weakness. And I think the FAI is a much better place now as a result of it.
And I'm sure they may have disputed it at the time. But Fiona, just to bring you back in, Bill O'Hurley had once described Saipan as arguably the most dramatic week in the history of our sport. Conor Pope this week is saying it was arguably the most dramatic week in the history of modern Ireland.
Yeah, you know, and I think a case can be made for that. You know, one of the things that people forget when we remember the 2002 World Cup, obviously Saipan is what all Irish people think of. And we tend to dwell less on the actual result of that World Cup, which, lest we forget, we went out on a penalty shootout in the round of 16. So in other words, the outcome of that World Cup and Italia 90 are only a single kick of the ball apart. And you have to wonder, if we'd had a certain penalty taker to stand up and take that penalty, could we have got to the quarterfinals of the World Cup? We'll never know.
We will never know. I know indeed one of our listeners says Saipan was, if nothing else, it was entertainment. Not a ball had been kicked and the star player was gone. Do you think, Tommy Gorman, finally that time heals, and perhaps as a country, if the men have moved on, can we?
I think there's a great opportunity to learn lessons from it. One of the remarks, I suppose, you can make at the stage, one of the observations and conclusions you can draw, is that when anger is in full flood, a little bit of silence, if people can just pull back to try and, you know, get themselves out of the heat of the moment. Because it really is true that there were no villains. There was nobody setting out to cause that disaster.
Well,
but once the anger started, it was so impossible to put it back into the bottle.
Well, I'll pick you up that invitation, Fiona Looney and Tommy Gorman. Now, for a little moment's silence, it's time to pause for the Angelus.